Go to TMA Electric in Port Huron for all your electrical needs. From service upgrades to LED lighting to a full system check and oil change for your generator, along with preventative maintenance. Call 810-266-1450 or stop by. They're at 2514 Chestnut in Port Huron.
All right, 10 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday morning here on WPHM. You know, Detroit is near and dear to, many of us in Michigan, certainly in southeast Michigan. We don't tell people we're from Port Huron when we're traveling outside the state. We're from Detroit or the Detroit area. Our next guest has written extensively about the history of Detroit. His new book is the second edition of his book, Detroit, an Illustrated Timeline. Paul Vachon online with us right now. Paul, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate you joining us. I know you're in the midst of sort of an extended book tour where you're signing and lecturing about this book. It must be an awful lot of fun to talk about something so near and dear to your heart.
Actually, it is. I've been a writer for over a decade now, and this is I've gravitated towards something I really enjoy doing. And writing a book, it's a lot of work, but of course it's a lot of fun at the same time, too.
Well, what is it about the history of Detroit that really captured you and made you want to not only write about it, but really dig deep into the roots of this city?
Well, a couple of things. First of all is Detroit's age. I mean, Detroit dates to 1701. It might surprise a lot of your listeners to know that Detroit is like well over 100 years older than Chicago, because it has such a deep military history, which was a military port with its original intention. And also, too, Detroit has always had a underdog, come-from-behind kind of spirit about it. And in 1805, when Detroit was still just basically a town, small town built out of wood, there was a fire that devastated the town. And Augustus Woodward was sent to Detroit by President Thomas Jefferson to help revive the city. And at the same time, Father Gabriel Richard, he wrote what later became, and is still to this day, the official motto of the city of Detroit. And translated into English, it says, "We hope for better things. It will arise again from the ashes," referencing the fire. But you can take that and view that as a paradigm for other recoveries from severe setbacks that Detroit has experienced over the centuries.
That's fascinating that, we think of, and a lot of us, we can only remember history as far back as we can actually remember, or maybe our parents. And so, the 67 riots are probably, what we think of when we think of Detroit versus everybody and, Detroit having to come back. But as you point out, it goes back much, much further than that.
It does. It does. And in the 19th century, for example, gradually throughout those years was when the industrial foundation that supported Detroit as a manufacturing town in the pre-automotive era, stoves, railroad cars, boats also, too, because it's on a waterfront, that industrial foundation provided the underpinnings that later lent the city to becoming the center of the auto industry. There were other reasons, too, but that's a major one.
Well, I know this isn't a history question, but what's ahead for Detroit? I mean, we're seeing a real renaissance, at least in the downtown area, the theater district, sports, and things like that. There's so much geography in the city that is just sort of in ruins right now. What's ahead for the city, do you think?
It still is. However, the recovery that the city is experiencing now does transcend just the downtown and the midtown areas. It has, not by the same measure, but it has also extended out into neighborhoods and places that you might not expect to see it. But that said, because the city is 139 square miles, you could take all of Detroit and you could fit in all of Baltimore, all of San Francisco, and the entire island of Manhattan still have room to spare. So that's a lot of city to bring back to life, if you will. I think that the strides that are being made are real, but they're not entirely adequate. There are still severe problems related to the school system, to just meeting the needs of everyday citizens in terms of having local businesses that would support residents, grocery stores and the like, although, again, that's changing too. But there's still a long way to go, basically, is what I'm saying.
you can't write a book about Detroit without writing about sports. I mean, sports has always been integral to Detroit, hasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is. Yeah. And that, Detroit is one of the few major cities in the United States where all four major sports teams play in venues that are located really within walking distance of each other. You have Ford Field, Comerica Park, and then Little Caesars Arena, which the Pistons and the Red Wings both share. So they're all in that area, and that's not true with many places in the country.
Yeah, that's for sure. And Detroit also the only city, as I understand it, that has won a championship in each of its respective sport. Granted, it's been a long time, but it was back in the mid-30s, right?
Yeah, that was the City of Champions. That was in 1935-36. In that year, there was no basketball team here at the time, but in that year, the Lions, the Red Wings, and the Tigers won the championships in their respective sports within that 1 year. That's never happened anywhere else in the United States at any time. That's the only time it's ever happened anywhere.
Talking with Paul Vachon, his book about Detroit, it's the second edition of Detroit, an illustrated timeline. As you look at the history of Detroit, is there a particular period that is your favorite to write about and talk about?
My favorite is one that I haven't actually written a whole lot about because it's so complicated, and that is the leading up to and immediately after the 1967 insurrection. The causes of that event are largely brutality within the police department, which was about 95% white at the time, versus a city which by that point was about 30 to 35% African American. But there's many other components to life in the city at that time. For example, the Vietnam War was raging, and there were, like many other places, there were protests against the war. Well, the Detroit police at the time actually had something called a Red Squad, which actually was trying to hunt out communists, kind of like what sometimes the FBI did on the federal level. And that's a little-known fact. I'd like to explore that more. But, for example, undercover police would take down license plate numbers at anti-war demonstrations, and they would sometimes, you know, do what really is unconstitutional fact-finding about some of individuals that were there and investigations and things of that nature, too. That's a fascinating subject, and it's something that I would certainly like to explore to a greater extent.
Perhaps in a future book, and we'll have you back to talk about that. In the meantime, the latest is Second Edition Detroit, an illustrated timeline. Paul, thanks so much for your time. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.